You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM broadcasting from Burnaby.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. Expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Keeping chickens in an urban setting has become increasingly popular in recent years. They not only produce eggs, they give us the delightful pleasure of their company. When you're feeling stressed and anxious, just take a moment or two, pull up a chair outside a chicken coop, and let these feathered friends entertain you, erase your anxiety, and connect you to nature. For me, sitting with chickens grounds me, that is, they add me to the earth. I feel less lonely as I'm observing their highly social behavior. Today we'll be exploring the therapeutic benefits of chickens to promote emotional support, connect us to nature, and add fresh eggs to our diet, with our guest, Tedra Hamill. Tedra, also known as Teddy, is a critical care nurse in the Washington State area and backyard chicken enthusiast. Through the inspiration of her feathered friends, she has become an artist, and her hens have established some fame on Instagram. She's the author and artist illustrator of Therapy Chickens, Let the Wisdom of the Flock Bring You Joy. Join us for the next hour as we explore the benefits of chickens as companions with our guest, Tedra Hamill. I'm speaking with Tedra at her home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Tedra, or may I call you Teddy?
Yeah, of course. You can call me Teddy.
Great. Thank you. Teddy, how is it that you've become to have chickens in your life?
So I worked a very seasonal job throughout my 20s. And so I had birds growing up. We had little parakeets. But once I went to college after college, all through my 20s, I worked in outdoor education, which means taking up contracts seasonally. And so I never had any pets. And when I finally took like a more administrative job at one of these schools, one of my good friends decided she was going to bring me over chickens because I had a chicken coop that came with my rental house. So I came home from work one day and there were two chickens in my yard. She brought the food, she brought the feeders, the waters. And she was just like, you know, Teddy, I think you'll really love having these birds. I was kind of lonely. I live by myself in a really small town. And it turns out she was very, very right. She was spot on. I like immediately fell in love with these birds and I've had chickens ever since day one. I fell in love with them.
That's so wonderful. She was so thoughtful or intuitive, I guess, to know that they would really benefit your life. And it turns out it's been kind of a lifelong companionship that you've had. In your book, you describe what a wonderful emotional support they can be. I wish that you would share with us how they support us emotionally.
A lot of this, like my Instagram page, my illustration, my art, all came out of the early months of the pandemic, where I was really isolated in a small town. I lived alone. I was like 5 hours from my family. And then obviously we were on lockdown. And so I had chickens for about a year. I decided to get baby chicks like March 25th, 2020, to add to my flock because I had lost all my work for the foreseeable future. And my instinct was just to get these chickens. I had a really nice yard. It wasn't necessarily like nice yard, but it was a good space. And I spent that summer of 2020, spring and summer, building up that yard, building fencing, building a coop, building a run, and housing these little birds. And so those initial stages of the pandemic were really about me building this place for these birds to live. And then as we entered that first winter, it ended up being really lonely, right? We didn't have vaccines. We were really on lockdown. People sort of formed pods that they would hang out with. But I, being in a remote place, and I was working in healthcare at the time, I didn't really have a pod. So it was me and my six chickens were my pod all through that first winter of the pandemic. And so that was the time where I really realized that they were how phenomenal of companions that they can be. So these chickens, you know, people think of chickens as pecking around the ground, clucking, eating, laying eggs, but they may not realize, especially if they haven't been around chickens, that especially chickens that are in smaller flocks are really attuned to what humans are doing. So my girls would come up to me and hop up on my leg or hop up on my shoulder. They just started walking in my house like it was their own house and hopping up on the couch to watch a movie with me. I had one chicken who, as soon as I moved him outside when they got old enough, she never really fit in the pecking order. Like she never found a place to roost. Like they have a very clear pecking order. And they roost that way. And she never found a spot to roost. And instead, she decided she liked to sleep inside my house. She would wait for me every night. And I would let her in. And I had this little towel she would sleep on. And then in the morning, I'd let her out. And she just preferred to sleep inside with me. We would watch movies. We would watch TV. She'd just sit next to me on the couch. And all the while I'm sharing this experience on Instagram with people all over the world who were also on lockdown. And so many people either connected with it because they were like, yeah, my chickens also do this. And people think I'm crazy, but I'm really excited to hear someone else who does this. Or they were like, wow, I never knew chickens were this friendly. And you know, you're showing me a different side of chickens that I never knew. So it really, for me, it's rooted in the pandemic of how I came to know them so well, just because I did have so much free time and also my social sphere was really small in the pandemic. I lived in a town of 1,500, 5 hours from Seattle. And so these six chickens became my whole family.
That's right.
We did everything together.
So were they all different breeds, or were they just one single breed? Were they all one color, or what did they look like?
So that initial flock were all different breeds. I like having all different colors and patterns. So I had all black, all white. I had a golden one, a purple. She's a lavender color, but it's kind of grayish. And then I had a black and white striped one, and then one that kind of had an ombre gray. So they're all different colors, and they're just such a joyful, like, pop of color in your backyard.
Exactly. I think of them as like a walking garden of color, you know, and with their different plumage and different feathers and different breeds. Did you find that different breeds had different personalities?
Yeah, definitely. I think people who, you know, spend a lot of time with their chickens realize that every breed is slightly different. For example, there's the Orpington breed is really popular. The Buff Orpington is kind of the classic, like, yellow chicken that you see at a lot of places. And they're known as the golden retriever of chickens, because they're really friendly. They're really upbeat. They are charismatic. They're always in a good mood. And they're really sweet. So I have Orpingtons because they're just so fun to have. But it's almost every a sense about them. You know, not every chicken in the breed is the same. They all have individual personalities, but they have these pretty funny similarities about them.
So when you talk about adjusting your yard for them, I'm curious, if somebody wanted to pursue having a flock of chickens, they're living kind of in a more cityfied or suburb situation, I guess the first thing that one needs to do is to check the local ordinance, right?
Yeah, I would say look, either it's going to be your county or your city, just depending. And you can just Google, like, poultry or livestock ordinance, and it should pull up the city code or the county ordinances. And I'd say in most, like, suburban or urban places, there's either going to be a chicken ban, which is upsetting, I think.
Yeah.
Or there'll be a limit. So, like, for instance, in King County, there's a limit of 8 hens. And then roosters are banned, and they're banned because of the noise, you know, the crowing in the morning.
Right.
And then you have to have your coop a certain distance away from any structure. So it needs to be, like, it can't be right next to your house or your neighbor's house. And I'm thankful I've never had too much of an issue with ordinances like this, but I do know people in cities or suburbs where chickens are banned, and they have, like, an emotional support chicken who, like, essentially gets evicted because chicken isn't allowed.
Oh,
because they're really thought of as livestock still by, like, the mainstream of society. But there's this, you know, group of people, myself included, who see them as pets and like any other pet.
Hopefully that is starting to shift. I'm here with Tadra Hamill. She's the author of Therapy Chickens, Let the Wisdom of the Flock Bring You Joy. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
Thank you.
here with Tedra Hamill. She is the author of Therapy Chickens. Tedra, Teddy, I'd love for you to talk about how your chickens themselves inspired you to become an artist. You've never been an illustrator or artist. You don't have a background in art, but here you are. You just were inspired. Tell us how you did that.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about earlier how all the beautiful colors of the chickens kind of flitting about your yard is just a beautiful sight. And once my chickens got to be about like 6 months old, like adult hen age and size, I just started like wanting to draw them and paint them. I had been in South America earlier that year in Colombia, which is beautiful country, very colorful, murals everywhere. And I had taken a lot of pictures of murals and murals with birds. There's a lot of bird murals, and I love birds deeply. And so I just got inspired by those and then by my chickens. And so I started creating art with my girls, and I would just feature one of my chickens with, you know, in some landscape or in some situation. The first thing I ever drew is still my most popular sticker design. It's just four of my chickens standing on the peaks of mountains, and it says, "I get by with a little help from my hens." I literally just drew it as a joke, almost. Like, I was like, I'm just like, you know, pulling out the pens and like making this happen. And it ended up being kind of cute. And I shared it on Instagram. And then people were like, we want this. And so I just continued to keep drawing from there.
And your book is just filled with drawings of your specific chickens that you've had through the years. It's just wonderful. Our listeners can tune in to these drawings, and they're available as prints or cards or stickers, I guess. therapychickensart.etsy.com. And you can find her prints there. Check them out. And you mentioned about loving birds. And I'm just wondering, Teddy, there's that saying, bird brains. And it's kind of a derogatory, like you're just being a bird brain, meaning you're not being very articulate or smart or whatever. But you're saying that chickens are very intelligent. So tell us, how do they reflect that intelligence?
Yeah, I always tell people that bird brain is a total misnomer. Birds are actually really smart, and there's a range of smartness, but chickens are actually on the height of the avian intelligence spectrum. I think they get a bad rap because, I don't know, they're a prey animal, so they get killed a lot. And also, they don't have great like spatial awareness. Like, they will get stuck in really funny places. So I'd say their spatial intelligence is maybe where some people think that they're dumb. But outside of that, they are really smart. They remember faces. They remember things. They can be trained. I worked on training one of my chickens, who's in the book. Her name is Buffy. With a little clicker, just like how, you know, people train dogs. We got to a point where she would peck a black dot, and I would give her a little worm, and she would just seek out this black dot and do whatever it took. And so I could get her to hop up on my shoulder. I could get her to, you know, go through my legs or hop on the counter. And so people, I think on social media, some of these videos circulate where maybe a chicken is playing a piano, or a chicken is like weaving through someone's legs and then hopping up on their shoulder. And chickens are definitely trainable. They have really similar intelligence to a cat or a dog. It's different, right? It's avian, but they have really similar abilities to be trained. And they are very emotionally intelligent too. They can pick up on you, and they can pick up on their, you know, compatriots, their flock mates. When something sad happens, they notice. When you're sad, they notice.
How do you know that they notice?
It's interesting. It's for me, it's really intuitive, I think, because I've always been around birds. But when I try and think about it from someone who has not spent a lot of time with birds, I can see how it is really hard to read their emotions because they don't have a mouth. They don't have that expressive, like, smile, frown type of situation. They just have this beak. Birds and chickens, like, do a lot of expressing through their eyes and through their body movements and through their vocalizations. And so they have happy noises, they have questioning noises, they have upset noises, they have sad noises. Their eyeballs, like their pupils, actually dilate and constrict, not just to light, but to their feelings. It's called, I think it's called pinpointing or something. But like when I am talking to one of my chickens, she'll sit on my lap, her pupil will dilate and constrict as we're interacting. And it's not, has nothing to do with the light, right? Like our pupils react just to light. Hers are reacting to like her emotional awareness of our interaction. And so I notice all of those little things, a cock of the head or like moving forward towards you versus like away from you, little mannerisms that they have, like preening, which is when they clean their feathers. That's a sign that they feel really comfortable and at peace. There's all these little signs that you can read, that since they don't have expressions like we do, there's all these other clues that you can kind of follow.
When you talk about their emotional life, I believe that I read in your book, or maybe it was in the introduction, where you said that when one of your chickens died, Penguin died, and the whole flock didn't lay eggs for 2 months. Did I read that right?
Yep, exactly. They all stopped laying eggs. It was in August, which is typically a really like productive time for them to lay eggs. So sometimes they do stop because of seasonal things, but they stopped laying August and September after Penguin died, because they were a really tight group of girls, and especially the girls that I had raised with Penguin. There were four that like I raised together, and they were really close. They just stopped laying. And you can like see them searching for their lost flock mate. You can just see like they have less energy. They'll sit kind of poofed up on a ledge. Like chickens definitely exhibit sort of these signs of depression sometimes.
That's amazing. I know we just did an interview with Brenda Peterson, who is very familiar with aquatic mammals like whales and dolphins and orcas and others. And we talked about that they also have grief and so forth. And so it was surprising to me to learn that chickens also have this internal emotional life that they're responding to. Teddy, I'd love for you to also tell us, if someone is thinking of getting a flock of chickens and it's okay in their area, what do they need to prepare for the safety and good health of their chickens? I mean, like as far as a chicken coop, or you said a chicken run, or should they be free range, or what are some of the parameters that people need to think about in even thinking about having a flock of chickens?
Yeah. So I'd say like the bare minimum is a coop where they can sleep at night. And that typically needs to be somewhat secure because rodents are quite good at breaking into coops. And it doesn't need to be that big if it's just somewhere where they're sleeping. It can be, you know, actually quite small. Like 6 chickens can fit into a fairly small coop because they're just using it to sleep. And that's like kind of the bare minimum. And then, you know, food and water. Then I'd say you do need to have land, obviously, and then you want to contain them. So like for me, I have a run, which is essentially like a big aviary. So mine is like 8 by 10 feet and like 8 by 10 feet, like width versus length. And then it's 6 feet high on one end, 8 feet high on the other. So it has like a sloping roof just so that the rain will wash off.
So it's covered?
Mine is covered. It doesn't have to be covered. Mine's covered because my girls are my pets. And so I have this run that is very secure. It has...
That secures them from, let's say, hawks or eagles, yeah, or predatory birds. Yeah.
Exactly. So my coop is actually not 100% secure. I just leave the door open because it's in my 100% secure run. And so as long as the girls are in the run, they're safe. They go into the coop to sleep or lay eggs, but I don't have to let them in and out.
Do you provide some sort of branch or something in there for them to roost? It's called roosting, where they get up high and they just sit on a branch?
Yep, a little roosting bar. And they actually, a lot of people think like you want a dowel, like a circular wooden dowel, but they actually really like more of like a flat piece, like a 2-inch or 3-inch flat piece that they can kind of put there. They're not as much of like a perching bird. Like they don't wrap their feet around something like a branch. They actually prefer something a little bit more flat.
And then they kind of sit down. In other words, they're not grabbing it with their feet, mm-hmm, but they just sort of, mm-hmm, sit down, hunker down, so to speak. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. I want to remind our listeners, I'm here with Tadra Hamill, and she's the author of Therapy Chickens, Let the Wisdom of the Flock Bring You Joy. And if you want to know about her artwork, you could go to therapychickensart.etsy.com. Or you can also go to her Instagram and see the videos and her comments and see some of her chickens. And that's at Therapy Chickens. Is that right for your Instagram? Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Okay. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts.